In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say the third glorious mystery, which is the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles, and we'll pray for inner light that we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. A few years ago, I was talking with a mother in First Communion, and she brought in a little girl who started to really dress like a little boy, in Spanish called marimacha, okay? Tomboy in English. And the mother was a little bit sad and confused with the little girl, because she seemed to have somewhat of identity crisis. So I said I'd like to talk with her. So this is probably about 15 years ago. And I said to her, you know, you're a pretty little girl, and what you should do is start to put on earrings and grow your hair long, and try to be really pretty, because you're a pretty little girl. I talked with her about 25 minutes, and the following week, she started to think that I'm a pretty little girl. So it was just like a 25-minute conversation. Very interesting. Very interesting. A 25-minute conversation seemed to change her whole perspective as to her identity. 25-minute conversation. Almost as if I changed her whole perspective of life. By 25-minute conversation. Okay, we've never lived in a world with so much information, but never with so much confusion. Okay, I repeat, we've never lived in a world with so much information. In a matter of 30 seconds, you can get almost all the information you want in 30 seconds on your phone, your iPad, your internet, whatever. So all of you, you're all being bombarded, if I can use that word, bombarded by all different source informations. I was talking with a couple of friends. I remember when I first watched TV, this would be, I'm the age of your grandparents, maybe even a little bit older, is we only had black and white programs, and there are only like three programs on all of TV. So this is back when your grandchildren were about my age as a little child. Now you've got probably 1,000 different TV networks. 1,000. Now all of you, you're being bombarded by all different sources of what people say is the truth. You're being bombarded on a daily basis. In school, in philosophy, your friends, the social network, the internet, you're being bombarded, day in and day out, different sources of information. And one that's very common is you're being bombarded by a false sense of your sexual identity. So that's going to be the topic today. As you're being bombarded by so many different sources as to who you are as a human person. So now it's a good idea to hear it from a Catholic priest, okay? One of your shepherds. And I'm going to try to be as clear as possible, trying to define who you are, what is your identity, where you're heading. But also I'd like to point out some of the lies that are being forced upon you right now. Okay, they're being forced upon you in certain school agenda in which they're trying to, really, they're trying to brainwash you. Okay. Now I'm going to quote a person I don't quote too often, and his name was Adolf Hitler. I'm surprised that a lot of young people have never heard of Adolf Hitler. Have you heard of Adolf Hitler, any of you? Wow, none of them have heard of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was the head of the Nazi Party 80 years ago, and ended by killing millions of people. And he basically said that what is a strong race? Those who are blonde, blue eyes, and they are from the Aryan race. And that would basically eliminate all of you, except me. So they saw the German, the Aryan, the blue-eyed, the blonde, as the superior race. They ended up by killing millions of people that were Jews, then they got rid of Catholics, then they got rid of priests, because they didn't belong to that race. And he was trying to convince the whole world that there was a superior race. And a lot of people were convinced. You know why? Because he believed, tell a big lie and tell it again, and tell it again, and tell it again, and tell it again, and tell it again. But if I were to tell you, look, this is white. This is white. This is white. See this Fatima? This is white. First, you're going to think I'm colorblind. But after I say it 100 times, I'm going to come in here, his father is dressed in white. By the mere repetition of the lie saying that this is white. So if you hear something over and over and over and over again, even though it is a lie, you're going to believe it's the truth. Got that? So my real fear is that so many young people in certain school systems, they're being brainwashed into believing what is a lie is the truth. So I'm going to try to go through that today, trying to save all of you, boys and girls, so that you will not fall into the lie of what is called the sexual gender confusion crisis. Okay? The sexual gender confusion crisis. Sounds somewhat philosophical, but I think you'll understand it by the time I finish our talk today. Okay, so I wrote out a worksheet for all of you, and I'd like to give a summary of one of my key ideas. It's this. Okay, none of you have studied philosophy yet, but I'll give you philosophy, a beginning of philosophy this morning, this afternoon. Simple. And it's this. Is there such thing as truth? Okay, no one ever asked that question. I think it's a good question. What do you think? Is there such thing as truth? Does truth exist? Now, I hope all of you are thinking about it. I hope you all are thinking, I hope so, and I believe that truth does exist. So I'll give you the response. Truth does exist. Second question is, what is the ultimate source of truth? Where's truth going to come from? We as priests, you probably know, we study a lot. I have 3 degrees. Father Larry went to Princeton. We studied a lot, not a little, a lot. We have to. Okay, I've studied psychology, sociology, philosophy, theology. I've studied all those. I don't have a PhD in all those, but I've studied those classes. You're not going to find the ultimate source in psychology. You're not. You're not going to find the ultimate source of truth in sociology. You're not. Mary has a degree in sociology. There are a lot of errors there. You're not going to find the ultimate source of truth in political science. You're not. You're not going to find a perfect political system. You see it out there now, right? You're not going to find the ultimate source of truth in some philosophical system. Okay, so where are you going to find the truth? You're going to find the truth in the Bible. You hear me? Did you ever hear the Bible? What's the Bible? You don't know what a Bible is? What is the Bible? The Bible is the word of who? They don't know yet. Okay. The Bible is the Word of God. Hello? Anyone home? Okay, the Bible is the Word of God. That's where you're going to find the ultimate source of truth. So the talk I'm going to give you today is based on the Bible. But also, the Bible has to have one other thing, and it's the church to interpret the Bible. Because, you know, the Christians, there are 40,000 different Christian churches. 40,000. That's a lot, isn't it? There's only one Catholic Church. And if you don't believe me, when you're driving with your mom toward Knott's Berry Farm, ever been in Anaheim? Every 3 blocks, you're going to see a different church. And every one of those churches has a different interpretation of the Bible. The Catholic Church has the authentic explanation of the Bible. So, what I'm going to be teaching you, the truth is going to come from the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God. Yeah. And the Pope and the bishops and the priests, we're the ones that help you to interpret the Bible in a proper way. So that's an introduction to our talk, and now you're going to be filling in a lot of short questions, 24 altogether. And most of these questions that you're going to be responding to are going to be a repetition of the same idea. They really like to pound this into your head what the truth is on this topic. So take up your worksheet. You got your pencil? Let's go for it. The topic is God's truth about our our sexual identity, God's truth. Now, if you were asked the simple question, does the truth exist, or is it simply a human social construct, what would be your response to the question? Okay, right in. Yes, the truth exists. Yes, the truth exists. There is an absolute truth. Yes, the truth exists. Many would have to think about the question because nobody ever posed such a question to them. Our hope, being followers of Jesus who defines himself as the way, the truth, and the life, is that our response would be a resounding yes. Indeed, Jesus is the incarnate truth. He teaches the truth, he is the truth, and he wants to lead us into the fullness of the truth. Okay, what are the sources of the truth now? Are you reading along? What are the sources of the truth? Therefore, if we have all responded positively to affirming the absolute reality of the truth, then the next logical question necessarily must be then, where can I find the truth? The response is twofold. In the Bible, which is truly the Word of God. You have a Bible at home. I hope you do. Then the church, which is the mystical body of Christ. You're coming now to the Catholic Church. This is the Catholic Church. So with the Bible and the church, you will be able to discover what the truth is, and the truth will set you free. Amen? Okay, not to be negative, cynical, or skeptical, or even a doubting Thomas, absolute truth cannot be discovered in sociology or psychology, or in political systems, or in ideologies, but rather in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. His living word, the Bible, and the mystical body, which is the Catholic Church. Okay, it's a delicate but important topic. Let us address a very delicate but extremely important topic. Our personal and unique identity. Our personal and unique identity. Very important. Who are we? Where did we come from? Where are we heading, and how can we arrive at our ultimate destiny? We want to dissipate the dense fog and cloud of confusion permeating our world. Indeed, never have we lived in a world with so much access to information, but also never have we lived in a world with so much confusion. So let us try to dissipate the cloud of confusion and allow the light of Christ to shine brightly in our path. The devil. You've heard of the devil before, right? The devil? El Diablo? The devil. You know, he's the father of lies. Jesus says he's the father of lies. Jesus expressed this truth very clearly in the Gospel of St. John. Two qualities of the person of the devil. The devil is a liar, and the devil is a murderer from the beginning. Many modern philosophies today have the devil present, spreading lies and trying to convince us that these lies are really modern truths. So let's go into our worksheet. God and the reality of creation. God created, and all that He created in its essence is good. Okay, so God created, and the essence of all that God created is good. Is good. Okay, the ladder of creation. Now we're going to be writing down from what's least important to what's most important. You have people that will maintain that animal rights are just as important as human rights. Sure. That animal rights are just as important as human rights. I mean, it's great to have animals. We've got a couple of cats. We like our cats. But I would never put our cats on the same level as Father Craig and Father Lowry and Father Antolini. Cats exist, right? They're animals, right? We can never place an animal on the same level as a human person, and our society is heading in that direction. Yes? Giving animals the same rights as a human person. Nothing against animals. But your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. It's true. Your individual soul is more than the whole cosmos. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, who shed His blood on the cross for you. His red blood. For you. As if you're the only person in the world. That's how important you are. So let's lay down the ladder of creation, going from what's least important to what's most important. Okay, a rock. Write down a rock. You put mineral if you like, Aristotle. Okay, rock. A rock is important. A rock is pure matter. Okay, it's existence. It's matter. It's molecules, right? Put together. So what's higher than a rock? A plant, right? Because a plant exists, but it also has life, right? A plant has life, doesn't it? What's above a plant? An animal. So an animal lives, right? An animal exists, it has life, but also an animal can move about freely and has what is called animal instinct, right? But then you have what? Above that is the human person. So we are light years more important than the rock, the plant, and the animal. Okay? You know why? Because the rock one day will no longer exist. The plant is going to die. And your pet parakeet Pete, your dog is going to die and disappear. But you're going to live forever because you have a body, you have a soul. Got that? You have a body, you have a soul. Your body's going to die. But your soul is immortal. Your soul is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we hope by coming to confirmation, receiving the sacrament, we hope and pray that your soul one day is going to be in heaven with God for all eternity. Amen? That's why we're here. That's why we're here. But a rock, a plant, a cow or a cat, one day they will no longer exist. A cat will decompose and the wind will blow the cat away. But your soul that you have within you right now will live for all eternity. Aristotle defines the soul as a life-giving principle. How would you define death? Death is the separation of the soul from the body. Got that? So once your soul leaves your body in death, you're dead, but then your soul goes where? To be judged by God. Jesus is going to judge you as soon as you die. On what? On everything you've done. On everything you've done. You're writing the book of your life right now, or the DVD of your life, or the YouTube of your life, okay? You're doing it right now. So when you die, you're going to be showing that to God. And He's going to judge us whether or not we lived a good life or a bad life. Okay. So let's move on to number three. Now, of all creation, what is the greatest? The crown of creation in the material world is man and woman. You got that? So the crown. You know what I mean by crown? I'm speaking somewhat poetically. The high point. You know, the crown on the head of the queen or the king is the high point of the queen or the king, right? The crown with the jewels in it. So you are the crown of creation. Man and woman, the high point of creation, the apex, the summit, the zenith of creation is the human person, man and woman. Okay, number four, God created man and woman. You notice how I'm writing this, man and woman? Okay, you're going to be, I'm going to come at you with that those words about 20 times, okay? God created man and woman in His image and likeness. That's in the Bible. That's in the book of Genesis. God created man and woman in His image and likeness. So in what way are we created in the image and likeness of God? I always wondered about this as a child. What did that mean? We're created in the image and likeness of God. He always had an inquisitive mind. No? How? Well, we're created in God, both God and us, God has an intellect and God has a will. So write that in there. Intellect and will. Intellect and will. So you have a mind, right? You have a mind, but also you have a heart. What is the primary purpose of the mind? To absorb the truth. What is the primary purpose of the heart? To love. Yep. We're created to know and we're created to love. And one other thing, we're created to know, we're created to love, and we're created to live forever. Amen? Like that? Yes? Do you hear me? You're created to know. That's why we're here in confirmation. We're trying to get to know the truth. We're created to be loved and to love. The greatest desire of the human heart is to be loved. And you know that. You want to be loved. And you want to love others. If you've never experienced love, you can't give love to others. You can't give what you don't have, right? So God is truth and God is love and God is life. God wants to share His knowledge, His truth, and His love with you and with me. Amen? Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Now, only hammering away is that there is a very clear distinction between the creation of man and woman, okay? Very clear distinction of creation between man and woman. And what you're going to be having in high school, junior high school, and college, they're going to be trying to confuse this reality, okay? Okay, I'm going to be a little bit philosophical now. We have a very intelligent group here this afternoon. About 100 years ago, there was a very famous philosopher. His name is Jean-Paul Sartre. And he married a woman whose name was Beauvais. And both of them arrived at the conclusion that sexual identity is not biological, but rather it's subjective. Okay? I'll try to repeat that. That sexual identity, your sexual identity is not something biological, but it's rather subjective that you choose when you get old enough. That's why what's going on in this country, you have little girls that are 10 that are saying to their teacher, I don't want to be a girl, I want to be a boy. And they're taking their children's hospital in L.A. They're getting a sex change. That's happening. Did you hear me? Were you listening? Or did you zone out? Okay, this is the idea. It's a false philosophy that started about 100 years ago by Jean-Paul Sartre, a very famous French philosopher, and he married a woman who agreed with him, is that your sexual identity as a male or female is not a reality, but you can choose whether or not you are a boy or a girl. And if you don't feel like you're a girl, you can go to the hospital, you'll get a sex change, and you're no longer Guadalupe, but you're Bill or you're Tom. That's what they're trying to teach you today. Now, some of you are maybe naive, maybe haven't heard that. You're going to hear it sooner or later. You probably are thinking, Father Broom, you're crazy. Well, it's a crazy idea, but remember the idea of the lie and the brainwashing. If you keep hearing that from a teacher that's 50 years old, has a degree from Harvard or Yale or Princeton, and keeps repeating it and repeating it and repeating it and repeating it, you're going to believe it. You're going to believe it. By the power of repetition, it's called brainwashing. Now, this is white, this is white, this is white, this is white, this is white. Father, you're colorblind. This is white. After you hear that 100 times, Father comes in, he's a Dominican, he's wearing a white habit. Because I've told the lie 100 times. So I'm coming at you with the ultimate source of truth is not ideas that come from sociology, psychology, pop psychology, the telenovelas, but it's coming from the Bible. Okay? And the ultimate source of truth is the Bible. That's my argument. Because truth does exist, but the truth comes from the Bible. Not from the telenovela. Or the actress. Or the pop psychologist. No, it comes from the Bible. You have to start that. That has to be your starting point. You girls and you guys, you're Catholics, right? If you're a Catholic, you don't accept the Bible. You're not a Catholic. You're not even a Christian. You're not even a believer. I know most of you don't know the Bible well, but eventually you're going to get to know the Bible better. And you're going to see that all that I'm talking about is true. Let's move on. Okay, God created God first created man. Do any of you know the first man that God created? Never heard of him? Marco? Okay, so it was Adam. You know what Adam means? It means taken from the earth. So write that down. Adam. And right next to it, taken from the earth. Okay, what's the name of the first woman? Do any of you know? What? Eve. How do you say that in Spanish? Eva, right? Okay, so the first woman is Eve. What does Eve mean? Any of you know? Okay, right down next to Eve means mother of all the living. So all of us are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. They're our first parents. Okay, here's a question then. Are you listening? Did God create Adam and Eve or Adam and Steve? I like to play with words. Did God create Adam and Eve or Adam and Steve? Hello? What do you think? Okay, it was Adam and Eve. Right, Isabella? It was Adam and Eve, and it was not Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve. Two different sexes, right? Not Adam and Steve. So God created two different distinct human persons. And they are man and woman. You could put male or female. You could put boy or girl. You're not aware of this, but there's a strong movement even to change the pronoun. Pronouns. You know what a pronoun is? A little bit of grammar. What's a pronoun? He, she, right? They. They're trying to change the fact that it's no longer he or she. That's where we're heading in society. Changing the pronouns. No? All right, let's move on. Number 10. Men and women are clearly distinct, however. Men and women are clearly distinct, however, they are equal. Did you, any of you ever hear the word a macho? Macho? Not nacho, but macho. You like nachos, huh? What's a macho? A macho is a man that dominates the woman and believes that he's more powerful and better than the woman. That's what a macho is. That's wrong. Totally wrong. Maybe, who knows, maybe we get a macho uncle or a macho grandfather, no? But that's wrong. So, men and women are different, distinct, but they are equal. They're equal. But different, but distinct. So man and woman can mutually help each other and complement each other. Can help each other and complement each other. K-12, are the differences in man and woman biological, emotional, social, moral, and spiritual? Yes, absolutely. Therefore, allowing same-sex marriages, okay, which was legalized about 7 years ago. We have two girls that are adopting a little child. That's wrong. That's wrong. Why? Because a mother is very different than a father. A mother is gentle and loving and kind and merciful and understanding. Those are qualities of a woman. Got that? Man, strong, secure. Okay? Very different. A child needs a woman, a mother, and a father, not two moms and not two dads. It's wrong. And the child is going to be growing up with so much confusion as to who he is. But it's happening now. You have two women, they're getting married civilly, and they're adopting children. That's wrong. So for the normal emotional, psychological, social development of the child must have a mom and a dad. You got that? A mom and a dad. So what I'm saying, in school they're going to say, no, what's important is that two people love each other. You're going to hear that. You're going to hear that. What's important is love. Two people love each other, that's what counts. No. The love that a mom can give and the love that a dad can come, it's love, but two different expressions of love. Got that? Okay. Okay, the book of Genesis is the first book of the Bible and lays the foundation for understanding the true nature of man and woman, their relation to God, their relation to each other, and their relationship to children. Is this true or false? And it is absolutely true. Genesis 2:15-25 is a key passage to understand the creation of man and woman, male and female, the difference but complementarity. True? Yes. Okay, now I'm going to give you the key verse. Number 15. Genesis 2:24 is a key verse. Let us copy it and try to understand the importance of this key essential verse. Okay, so what I want you to do, I want you to copy down this verse, which I have memorized upstairs, and I want you to try to memorize it also. Are you ready? Okay, I'll say it three times so you will have it written properly. Let's go. Okay. A man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they will be one flesh. Okay, what God has united, let no man rent asunder. Okay, I'll repeat that again. What God has united, let no man rent asunder. Make sure you write that down. What God has united, let no man rent asunder. That's the most important top verse in this whole conversation. Okay? That's the most important verse in this whole topic. So I'll repeat it again. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And they will become one flesh. So what God has united, let no man rent asunder. So it says, okay, well, you got the man. Okay, the man will leave father and mother. Okay, two very clear, separate sexual identities. And he will be united to his wife. Okay, a woman. They will become one flesh. And what God has united, let no man rent asunder. And that's the means by which children come into the world. That one verse. That's the verse of procreation. Whereas the man and woman, they collaborate with God by loving each other mutually in the sacrament of matrimony, and by that act of love, God brings a new person into the world. Wow. In the moment of conception, God infuses an immortal soul. Wow. Can I blow your mind? So how did it come about? It came about by a man who's leaving his father and mother, then he lives with his wife in the Holy Sacrament of Matrimony, and by their love for each other, the love of the man for the woman, and the man for the woman, God gives them a new child. That's how we came into the world. Thanks be to God for my mom and my dad, and for your mom and your dad too. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. Thanks be to God. Yep. Thanks be to God for mom and dad. I'm very thankful for my mom and my dad. My dad has passed away. Hopefully I'll see him one day in heaven. But if we didn't have our mom and our dad, we wouldn't be here. Okay. But you see, there's a very clear biological distinction. There is a man and woman, husband and wife. They love each other. Their love is expressed physically. And as a result of that physical love between the man and the woman, God gives a child. And we were born. And many of you girls will be mothers bringing beautiful babies into existence one day, God willing, right? And many of the boys here will be fathers. Hope a couple of you will become priests, okay? So you wrote down that passage, you all have it? You can go home and you can open up your Bible and you can read the whole chapter 2 of Genesis. But that's the key passage. That's the key passage, is the one that you've just copied. It's not too long. But that basically says it all. God created a man and a woman. The man left who? His father and mother. Not his father and father, but his father and his mother. So I'm purposely hammering away at this because you're going to be getting different ideas at school. So at least I've got you 1 hour, okay? And hopefully this 1 hour will help you to be convinced of the importance of this topic. So I'm going against transgenderism, I'm going against LGBT, I'm going against transhumanism, I'll explain that in another talk, okay? And I'm trying to lay out what the Bible says about the human person and his ultimate destiny. Okay, let's move on. Usually the laws or rules promulgated in our Constitution and laws in general are good. But at times they fail. Let us name 2 key civil laws that contradict God's law. Okay, what I'm saying now is this. Almost all of your parents came from Mexico, okay? Almost all. Why did your parents come from Mexico? Because they thought probably here you probably have a better life, right? Yes, Father. Okay. That's why they came here. Now, of all the constitutions written, by far the one that was written by George Washington, you've heard of him, George Washington, okay? Madison, Thomas Jefferson, do you study a little bit about that in school? That was the best constitution probably ever written in the world. John Paul II admired our constitution. But there are 2 laws that have been introduced in our country that are very, very, very bad. What are they? Okay, well, let's write them down. One is the legalization of abortion. Number one, the legalization of abortion, it's a very bad law. And we hope in time there's a chance that that law is called Roe v. Wade is going to be overthrown. We're heading in that direction. It might be overcome by the Supreme Court justices. Let's pray. And the other bad law was the legalization of same-sex unions, which was legalized about 8 years ago, in which 2 men can have a civil marriage and 2 women can have a civil marriage. Those are the 2 worst wrong laws that have been incorporated into our country. The law of abortion destroys the baby. The law of same-sex union destroys the family. You kill the baby and you kill the family, what's going to happen to our society? If you one day you study world history, the Greek civilization, the Roman civilization, how did it fall apart when the family was unraveled? Yeah. You haven't studied enough yet, but you will one day. The Greek civilization, the Roman civilization, it fell apart because the family became unraveled. And that's what's happening in our country. However, I know almost all of your parents, and a lot of your parents, they're struggling, but they're forming good families. I know your moms and dads. A lot of you come from good families, and we in the church, we're fighting to help you to have really good families. So that one day when you get married, and most of you will, you'll have good families too. Got that? Okay, so just be aware, those are two laws that have become part of our country. They're bad laws. Most of the laws are very good laws. Your parents, when they became American citizens, they had to learn this. Every individual is created with inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Your mom and dad had to learn a bit of English. They had to learn that. That's our founding fathers. Beautiful. We're created with the right to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness. That's George Washington, our founding fathers. Okay, one of the primary purposes of union between man and woman in holy matrimony is for the man and woman to have children. I say man and woman to have children. So if you were to get married one day and you lied to the priest and said, well, priest said, would you want to have children? No. I love my boyfriend, but I don't like kids. Then that would be an invalid marriage. You have to be open to have kids. Maybe you can't, but you have to be open to have kids. And those children come through the union of the man and the woman. Okay? Through the man and the woman. That's the way God ordained it. Talking to Father Larry, and he said something I never thought about, that Adam and Eve were married even before original sin. I never thought about that. Adam and Eve, they were married even before original sin. Then original sin happened, and then problems came into the world. Adam loved Eve. Eve loved Adam. And they had children. Who were they? Cain and Abel. And then Seth. Okay. Next. Okay, this is called, number 18, it's called procreation. Procreation. Right next to procreation, man and woman creating with God a new human being. Wow. That's what procreation is. Man and woman creating with God a new human being. Think about that. We've got a couple of mothers here. Wow, can you think about that baby you had in your womb? The baby was born. On a human level, there's nothing greater than that. Wow. How I admire pregnant women. I mean, it's kind of tough, but you hit 8 or 9 months, right? But wow. You got a baby in your womb. You're going to bring a new person into the world. How great that is. How great that is. Okay, Key Practice Against Same-Sex Relations is the book of Genesis. Okay, Key Practice Against the Same-Sex Relations is the book of Genesis. Okay, write down next to that Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Sodom and Gomorrah. And write down Genesis chapter 19. Okay? Genesis chapter 19. Have any of you ever heard of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Any of you? Jake? Okay, well, I'll just tell you. In Sodom and Gomorrah, there were two cities with a lot of money and a lot of riches, and men were having relations with the men and women with women. And there was a holy man, Lot, that lived on the outskirts. And he had two guests that were angels. And the homosexuals came in and they wanted to rape the angels. To rape the angels. Guess what God did? God said, get out. Get out. Get out. So as they were hurrying, God said, don't turn around. And Lot's wife turned around and was turned into a pillar of salt. And then what did God do, Jake? Sent what? Fire and brimstone. And what happened? The cities were destroyed. Why? Because they're practicing homosexuality. You can't deny that. They're practicing homosexuality. Women with women and men with men. So God, so that he was not happy with that, rained down fire from heaven. Those two big cities were destroyed. Now, that's from the Bible. I'm not creating this. If you don't believe me, go to your Bible today and read Genesis chapter 19. You can read it in 5 minutes. Now, God is showing that he does not agree with same-sex unions. He does not agree with that at all. Not at all. A very powerful passage. Right, Blanca? Powerful. It's in the Bible. We can't do selective reading the Bible. We have to read the whole Bible. Not pick and choose like cafeteria Catholicism. Okay, let's move on. How does God react to the practice of unnatural sexuality? Okay. Write down fire and brimstone, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Even though surgical procedures are done to change one's sexual identity from one to the other, does God approve of this? What do you think? Fatima? No, it's wrong. As I said earlier, girl can go to the hospital and have a sex change. Boy can go to the hospital and have a sex change. That's happening. That's wrong. And you're going to hear some of your friends saying, hey, this is pretty cool. This is the modern society. You have to say, that's wrong. You hear me? You young people, you have to go out there and preach the truth. I'm teaching you the truth so you can preach the truth. And a lot of your friends, they're confused on this topic. You've got to tell them the truth. You could end up by saving so many young people if you can talk about this with conviction and clarity. I believe that some of your friends are going to be saved from this because of this one class. I really believe it. I believe it. You're going to be meeting some girls, they're just totally confused. You sit down and talk to them and convince them to follow what the Bible is teaching us. If you love someone, you should want what's best for that person. You love the person, you want what's best for that person. Not that it's going to damage the person the rest of his life. Okay. Why not? Why not? It's because it's against the Bible. It's against natural law. You'll learn what natural law when you go to college. But law that comes from God in our very nature. And it's against common sense. Okay? I think you know what common sense is, right? It's against common sense. You're a girl, thanks be to God. You're a pretty, attractive girl, teenage girl, thanks be to God. You're a boy, thanks be to God. Thank God for your sexual identity. Thank be God you're a pretty girl. Act like a girl. Speak like a girl. Dress like a girl. Be a girl. Don't try to be a boy. You hear me? Being a pretty, feminine girl is one of the most beautiful things in the world. When a girl tries to be a boy, it's ugly. And a boy tries to be a girl, it's ugly. Because it's against the Bible, it's against natural law, and it's against common sense. It's against common sense. Okay. Let us mention some real dangers that can honestly place ourselves in danger or truly jeopardize our knowledge and true concept of the human person, holy matrimony, and the true plan of God for us. Dangers that exist. Okay. I'm going to mention right now where you have the institutionalization of sin in three different institutions. Three different places where the devil has a stronghold. Are you listening? The first one is in the mass media and Hollywood. Okay? The mass media and Hollywood. Already Disney are presenting cartoons of lesbians and homosexuals and transgenders already in cartoons where your little sister that's 5 or 6 years old is already watching this type of cartoon. What's going to happen if your little sister that's 5 or 6 sees 100 of those cartoons? What's going to happen to your little sister? She's going to believe it, right? So already in the little cartoons, it's starting on that level. So there's a stronghold of the devil in Hollywood. Yeah. When I say Hollywood, you know what I'm talking about, right? The mass media, TV, movie. Okay. Okay. Then there's a danger. That's danger number one. Danger number two is there's a stronghold in politics, and we all know that. Right, Blanca? Right, Eric? Huh? Right, Estella? Huh? Right, Lorena? Huh? There's a stronghold in politics. Everything that I'm promoting, I'm preaching now, politics is saying the exact opposite. And the third is in the educational system, the public educational system. Now, most of you, you're in 8th, 9th grade. If things go from bad to worse, okay, next year you might ask for homeschooling and talk to me about it. Okay. I gave this talk yesterday to the Spanish-speaking moms of First Communion. A lady came up, Father, what do I do? Homeschooling? Tell me about it. Where do I go? Right away, the mom was saying, well, Father, homeschooling, I've heard about it, what should I do? So I'm looking into giving information to this mother next Monday so that she can have information on homeschooling. Okay, so those are three strongholds of the devil. Is Hollywood, politics, as well as education. Certain educational systems that are promoting this agenda that I'm speaking against. All right. Now what about the safeguards? What can save us? Number one is this. Okay, you teenagers, talk openly with your mom and your dad. I know you got your telephone, you got everything going. Talk openly with your parents. When you hear weird things in school, talk openly with your parents. Because the parents are the first educators of the children. And we as priests, we're trying to educate your parents. Second safeguard is the Bible. The Bible is the truth. The third safeguard is the church and your priests. Talk with us. You may not always like what we're telling you, but you know we're going to be telling you the truth. You hear me? You may not always like what Father Broom says because he's very strong, but you know that we're telling you the truth. You know that. Okay. The closing paragraph is very important, so don't zone out yet. Give me 2 more minutes, okay? Our conclusion to this study is the following. It is our hope and our fervent prayer that all of us would have a very clear understanding of God's will and purpose for the human person, his goal and destiny. It is our fervent desire that we would not be blinded by the devil, who is truly the father of lies. It is our desire that all will understand the beauty, dignity, and sublime purpose of marriage and the family. Finally, it is our firm hope that no teaching or false philosophy would blur the clear biological, emotional, and social distinction and difference between man and woman, male and female, boy and girl, husband and wife, mother and father. These distinctions come from God, the author of all true laws. Jesus indeed is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.